are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to The King's Men, a program about authentic masculinity. I am Mark Houck, your host, and have been with you on these airwaves since 2006, and it's a pleasure to be back here live on this fifth Friday of Lent, Friday, April 12th, right here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM on your dial in Doylestown, Philadelphia area, 1420 in the Coatesville, Chester County area. It's great to be here. Great to be with you. We're going to be talking about Holy Week and preparing for Holy Week, the most manly of weeks. We're talking about a program about authentic masculinity. There is no one more authentically masculine than Christ himself. And so we'll be talking about the manliest of weeks, Holy Week, what our Lord did for us on the cross 2,000 plus years ago. What a joy it is to be with you on these airways to impart some reflections that I make during this time. I'm blessed to be the founder and president of the King's Men Apostolate, and it's a full-time ministry. If you don't know about our ministry, you can always check it out at thekingsmen.org and learn a little bit more about our programs. We just completed our 17th installment of our Samson Healing Retreat at the Hamilton Discovery House in New Jersey, and we'll be going back November 7th through the 10th. We are gearing up for our, I think it's our 46th Into the Wild in Flagstaff, Arizona, on September 12th to the 15th. It'll be here before we know it, less than 6 months away. If you'd like to come out to Flagstaff, to St. Joseph's Youth Camp, we'll have about 100 guys there going into the wild, an outdoor experiential retreat. We've taken about 4,000 men on these retreats in the last 10 years. Our apostolate has been doing full-time apostolic work, outreach to men, fathers, husbands, brothers, since 2004. And I'm privileged to be able to share with you on these airways what we do and why we do it and give you some further reflections on masculinity as it pertains to our Catholic faith. And so our ministry has just come down from a very busy time. We had about 3 months of extensive programming where we traveled and spoke around the country and visited during Men's Conference Month, which is usually the month of February, end of February, beginning of March. And so here we are in April, and things are slowing down a tad bit. Good timing for that to come into a state of reflection as we ponder these great mysteries of Holy Week. So as we begin our time together, let us begin as we begin all good things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit, as some of you may know, he is our patron saint of our apostolate, and this is what he once prayed to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. And we ask St. Augustine to pray for us. We ask all the saints to pray for us, St. Joseph in a particular way to pray for us. And as we ponder this Holy Week and what the Lord did for us, it's not just another week. It's not just the mark of the end of Lent. It is the holiest of weeks. There is something deeply profound about this week that our church invites us to enter into through the Triduum. And the Triduum begins on Holy Thursday and continues to the vigil, Easter Saturday vigil. And the Triduum, these 3 days, that's what Triduum means, the 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, are a time for us to pray, to reflect, to come into some solitude, perhaps, to reconnect, to slow down, to think, to ponder our death, to ponder our contribution to Good Friday. Every Friday we know is a mini Good Friday, as we remember the life of Christ and the life he gave up for us, for our salvation. But this particular Good Friday is Good Friday, is the day that Jesus died on the cross and saved the world, saved us from our sins. It's important that we think about what this means. I was with a brother in the Lord, and we were talking how we were in our men's group up in Quakertown, how Good Friday is something we relate to more so than Easter Sunday. Now, Easter Sunday is a great joy, the celebration, the resurrection of our Lord. But Good Friday is something, he said to me, he said, I just, it speaks more to me. I get, and he didn't mean it in any way to be heretical or sacrilegious or disrespectful, rather, that somehow it's more meaningful to him. And I said, I can understand that. I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that because, frankly, we contributed to Good Friday. Like, we're invested in Good Friday because our sins of today, yesterday, and tomorrow, put Jesus on that cross. And so we contributed in a very real, tangible way to Christ's suffering and death and passion. And so, yeah, I get it. I get that Good Friday and the day and what it means can be a little bit more impactful in some ways to men. And I didn't take that the wrong way. And I said, I almost agree with you. In a certain sense, I'm not glorified yet. I am imperfect yet transformed. But Easter Sunday is a foretaste, if you will, of the resurrection that we will all experience in our lives, one day as we persevere to the end, as we pursue our final destination to complete the race. And then we will fully enter into what the resurrection means. But for us, the church militant here on earth, we still are working out our salvation, as St. Paul said, in fear and trembling. And this is why Good Friday is so pivotal for us as Catholic Christians. It's certainly Holy Thursday. I invite you, as I challenge these young men that I work with once a week at our co-op here at Częstochowa, Charlie at Częstochowa, I have a youth men's group, which I facilitate. And I challenge the young men to really enter into the Triduum, these 14, 15, 16-year-old men, young men, 17-year-old men, to really enter in. Now, to participate, of course, in the family life, but to really set aside the hours of 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Good Friday. This is the greatest act of love in those 3 hours that was ever displayed, committed. And it's the most manly act of love, right? I mean, Christ was a man. As St. Augustine said, Christ had to become a man. A man. He chose to be a man because he's the new Adam. He had to redeem the sin of Adam. So he becomes the new Adam. And so he chose to be a man. And by virtue of him being a man, he is the new Adam. And he redeems all of creation as it once was supposed to be, right? As the original intent, if you will, of the mind of God in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin. But through the sin of pride, through Adam's sin, sin came into the world and death came upon us. Well, Christ saves us from the punishment of that sin and gives us new life. There is no death anymore. It is only resurrection. It is only a passage into new life. And so, you know, this Good Friday is maybe a time where for us as men and women, listening to this audience, it's just another day to work. Well, maybe you have to go to work on Good Friday. I'm blessed where I will take off on Good Friday and just be with Good Friday. Just be with my family. It's not a day of busyness. I challenge the boys at the youth men's group. I said, don't just play hoops for 3 hours from 12 to 3. Set aside some time. Make it meaningful, special. Go to adoration, pray, read, find some solitude, and remember what your Lord did for you. And I challenge you, dear listeners, today to really make Good Friday something reflective for yourself. Now, let's say you're at work and you can't depart. Can you not set aside a time at the 12 o'clock hour, 1 o'clock hour, 3 o'clock hour, 2 o'clock hour to just remember, It could take all of a minute, but just to remember, thank you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. My Lord and my God, whatever you say, remember, find a way, and we can do that. Now, if you have the ability to break away, to go to an adoration chapel, to spend some time on your knees, to read, to make an act of kindness, an act of reparation, an atonement for all the sins in the world, for all your own sins, to go to confession if you have that opportunity, to take in a Good Friday service, wouldn't be a mass, but a Good Friday service, to take in a passion play. I recommend maybe in the evening you watch The Passion of the Christ. Watch that movie that Mel Gibson made in 2004. Just watch it and live it and experience it once again and embrace the great gift that we've been given and remind ourselves that we have contributed, that we are very much a part of Good Friday. And the passion of Jesus that he enters into on the Holy Thursday night, we are there with him in the cistern. We are there hanging. We are there praying, watching, waiting. We are there betraying. We are there running, fleeing. It is all our story, because we all do that, don't we, at times. Let us find a way this year, this Holy Week, to enter into Holy Thursday in a new way. Perhaps you might go to the Mass on Holy Thursday and watch the feet of the parishioners be washed symbolically as the priest washes the feet of the parishioners once again. Remind ourselves what Christ did for us. As I have done, you must also do. Ask yourself, do I wash the feet, figuratively, of the people in my life? Do I serve? Am I a servant leader? This is something that I just returned from Miami and gave a corporate talk on servant leadership. It was a very beautiful place to be in Miami, a beautiful time of the year. At the Trump National Resort, I was able to give about a two-hour presentation and workshop on servant leadership, encouragement, empowerment. And these are true values no matter where you find yourself. Are you serving? Are you serving others? Are you serving your employees? And I don't mean physically. I mean looking out for their best interest, encouraging them, thanking them. If you are the lowest man on the totem pole, who are you serving? Who are you serving each day? Husbands, are you serving your wives and your children? Are you doing for them? Reflect on Holy Thursday to the degree that you are and you aren't, and make a commitment, as we do in all of our Kingsmen groups all around the country. Make a commitment, resolve to serve, to choose to serve. Now, for some of us who have the love language of service, which I happen to do, it's a little easier for us who are used to doing that. It's just in our nature in some respects. But for those of us who are not that way, maybe perhaps you're a gift giver or something, and you show your love that way. Services might be a departure for you. We must think of the ways what we can serve, the ways we can serve Holy Mother Church, our local church, the way that we can serve, again, our families, our domestic churches, the way we can serve our communities, our workplaces. Wherever we find ourselves, there's a variety of ways to serve. And servant leadership, again, does not mean indentured service, whereby we're just constantly doing and doing for others and they're not doing anything for themselves. No, it's care for the person, the kindnesses that are extended, the random acts of kindness, perhaps, the paying it forward, to borrow from those phrases that have been used kind of loosely in the Christian circles over the years. Pay it forward. When someone does a kindness for you, do a kindness for somebody else. When we think of service, we think of thinking less of ourselves and our own needs, not thinking less about our human self, but thinking less about self, as C.S. Lewis would say. Humility is not thinking that we're less, right? You know, I'm a worm, although many saints have said that over the years. But thinking less about yourself and thinking more about others. So this is really at the heart of, I think, Christ's message there on Holy Thursday. What I have done, you must also do. And so he sets the bar very high. The master, the king of kings. He is in no need of lowering himself as king, but he does anyway. He condescends. He becomes one of us. As one of my philosopher teachers at Catholic University said, it is as if he became a dog, okay? That's how far beneath him, or an ant, that how far beneath him is coming from the throne he had in heaven to being human, to being incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It's as if he became a dog or an ant. But see, he doesn't look at it that way. It's just only to show the degree of departure from his throne, from his kingship that he took, to demonstrate how far below that he is in his humanity, right? And so that he condescends to become one of us, that brings great dignity, that brings royalty, that brings so much to us in the human race. And Jesus truly becomes our brother. And so we are grafted in by virtue of his humanity into the sonship of Christ. And we are part of the kingdom family of God, redeemed creation. Now we have infinite value, right? Our dignity is assured. It's perfectly secured, right? There's no need to seek it. We have it. And Christ says, as I have done, you must also do. So how do we do this? Lower yourself to become less about what you're going to gain, but what others can gain. As the Litany of Humility would say, let others become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should. In other words, you want others to grow and to become more virtuous, to become a saint. Yes, you pray for your own sanctity, but you seek to help others along the way. You seek to encourage, to empower, to share in the vision of Christ, which he had on Holy Thursday. What is that vision? To serve and love one another. This is what we need to try to enter into this Thursday. We need to ask ourselves, how am I doing with this? Am I doing poorly with this? And Lord, on Holy Thursday, help me to grow. Give me a new heart if you have a stony heart, a heart that needs to be transformed, a heart that needs to be softened to the needs of others, especially our wife and our children as men. Let's think of that this Thursday. How can we better serve our families? Let's start there. Let's start simply there, because you can't give what you don't have. And so let's take what we do in the domestic church and take it into the world. When we come back, we'll enter more deeply into Good Friday and how we can enter into this Passion of Jesus, especially his Via Dolorosa. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Keep going, brother. Okay. We'll be right back. We'll talk about also Holy Saturday. Holy Saturday. Very special. Stay tuned.
Thank you. A longtime supporter of Holy Spirit Radio is Holly Hill Health Foods, a locally owned, family-run business for over 26 years. They offer a wide selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and formulas. They also have nutritionists to serve your needs. Visit Holly Hill Health Foods at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, Pennsylvania, or call them at 215-361-7770. You can also shop online at hollyhillvitamins.com. Saturday, April 13th is the 2019 Baby's Breath Run for Life at Norristown Farm Park. The fun run starts at 9 a.m. followed by the 5K run at 9:30. Come, run, walk, or wheel. A fun spring morning for the entire family. For more information, please call Dorothy, the race director, at 610-316-6281. That's 610-316-6281. Or email BUDSWED at Verizon.net. That's a Baby's Breath Run for Life 2019 on Saturday, April 13th at Norristown Farm Park. All proceeds go to a Baby's Breath Crisis Pregnancy Center.
St. Elizabeth Catholic Church will conduct a special series called Catholics Coming Home, beginning Monday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. in the church, located at the corner of Route 100 and Fellowship Road in Upper Echelon. The sessions are for Catholics who are seeking answers to questions about returning to the church. There'll be an informal sharing and an update of the Catholic faith. For more details, call Deacon Barry Midwood at 610-321-1200.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're talking about Good Friday, and this is an opportunity for us to go deeper. And I want to talk about the hours of mercy, right? 12 to 3, the 3 hours that Jesus was on the cross. And I want to invite you to somehow, some way, whether you're working, whether you're off, to make this an anointed time. I think we have to be intentional. I think we have to be deliberate. Now, the church gives us a great opportunity at 3 o'clock to take in a service. But I'm talking the hours of 12 to 3. So maybe you take up your rosary. Maybe you really take your rosary in hand and go for a hike if you have it. And pray intently the sorrowful mysteries of our Lord. Perhaps you do the Stations of the Cross. Make it real. Not just 3 hours just to pass by. Make it something meaningful. Give glory to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit by honoring those special hours, if you can. Again, you might be working, and you know, if you're working, look, every hour, bless the hour. Every hour, 12, 1, 2, 3, bless the hour. Especially at 3 when Jesus died. Take a moment, say in Our Father. Make an act of thanks, an act of faith, an act of hope, an act of love, a prayer of thanksgiving for all that Jesus did. I think this is so pleasing to our Lord, that we would take the time. Now, I'm not going to say this to impress you, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but when I was a single guy, I would literally go to an adoration chapel, and I'd pray for 3 hours. Not to impress you again. It's just something a pious act that I wanted to do. I did it for a number of years when I was single because I could. I wanted to just sit and watch and be in vigil with our Lord. I just wanted to do that. And it was a way for me to enter in. And I challenge you, I invite you, dear listener, if you have the time to bless these hours, bless our Lord with your time given to nothing but meditation and reflection, and in a spirit of thanks and gratitude for all that he suffered. They say there's no man who suffered more in their life than Jesus. He experienced every form of abuse and agony and pain possible on that cross. He hemorrhaged. His heart exploded, essentially. That's what the coroners and the medical world says, that his heart burst. His heart burst in the end. If you read the Pietà, the little private reflection and devotional, it talks about the wounds that Christ experienced from the crown of thorns. Now, this past Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Lent, in the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, France, they displayed the crown of thorns. King Louis XIV, I believe it was, purchased the crown of thorns 500, 600 years ago, and they are now held at the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris. And they're taken out once a year for veneration. And it's always done on, I think, the fifth Sunday of Lent. Maybe I'm thinking of Veronica's Veil. It might be Veronica's Veil that I'm confusing. Nonetheless, they do take it out, and it's done during Lent. Actually, I think it might be Good Friday. It might be taken out now that I think about it. Regardless, these relics from our Lord's Passion, the Veil of Veronica, fifth Sunday of Lent, the Good Friday crown of thorns. These are done to help us enter in. But in that Pietà, it talks about the mortal wounds that were inflicted, that Christ would have died from the mortal wounds that were pressed in upon his precious head. They say that Jesus experienced the crown of thorns to make atonement for our pride, the sin of pride. They think of our head, thinking of self, right? Humility is not thinking less of ourself, about ourself as a person, but thinking less about self, yes? Thinking less about our needs. This is a time to really enter into that. How am I falling to the sin of pride? How am I falling to the sin of pride? I mean, most of us fall to the sin of pride. There are three root sins: pride, vanity, and sensuality. A lot of us fall to pride. This crowning with thorns, Jesus suffered for those sins. Now, when we think of Pilate commanding that Jesus be flogged, and then he was going to set Jesus free, but that he be scourged, those scourgings were done, as the church fathers would say, the tradition of the church, to make atonement for sins against purity. Oh my, sins of the flesh. They say Jesus received three sets of 39 lashes. Why the number 39? I think I might have shared this on the airwaves before. Hear it again. Jesus received three sets of 39 lashes. The Romans would give 39 lashes to their criminals of being punished, because on the 40th lash, they learned that the criminal, the punished, would die. So they stopped at 39. Jesus received three sets of 39 lashes. And as you watch The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, you hear the soldiers counting as they slash and tear the flesh of Jesus' body. It's one of the hardest things to witness in that movie. Very hard to watch. But we need to watch it. We need to recognize that we contributed to that. That every sin against chastity contributed to that. There's a lot of unchastity in the world. One need only turn on the television to see the unchastity that is presented on a daily basis to us, to our children, to our families. these thoughts, these sins enter our minds, and they take root in our minds. And sometimes they bear an action. The fruit of these evil presentations of the body, misrepresentations of the body, as John Paul II would say, it's a partial truth when the body is pornographically displayed. It's a partial truth because you're only seeing a remnant of what is true, good, and beautiful. But it's being pornified. It's being presented in an unchaste manner. And so therefore, it has nothing but evil to offer. And so when these evil inclinations and thoughts take root, they manifest themselves in behavior. And this behavior, whether it's an addiction or whether it's a problem, a habitual problem, whatever you want to call it, sins against the flesh. Our Lady told the children of Fatima that more souls fall into hell every day because of sins of the flesh, sins against purity. And Christ paid the price. Maybe this, what you watch on that film with Mel Gibson, you can identify with where you fell, and you failed in this regard of pursuing virtue, pursuing chastity, and make atonement once again in your prayers, in your act of contritions, in your visits to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. It is great time to meditate on what Jesus suffered and endured as a result of our sins of the flesh. And vow, recommit once again to go and sin no more, as Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery. Ask God to give you the grace to possess the virtue of chastity, to have a deep hatred of your sins against purity. Pray for holy purity. Pray for purity when you go out on a date, young men. Pray for purity when you are alone. Pray for purity in your marriage. Pray for purity for your children, parents. Pray that they may be pure. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see the face of God. Nothing impure can see the face of God. And so we must, in this time of the Triduum, Good Friday, think on these things and ponder them in those 3 hours. The Lord doesn't want you to despair. The Lord doesn't want you to not forgive yourself. Absolutely not. He has paid the price. However, we must remind ourselves, what are we living for? Are we living for Christ? Are we taking up our own cross and following him along the way? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Put the yoke of Christ on you and let Christ, the stronger man, train you, the weaker man. That's what the yoke will do. Let Christ train you in the virtue of chastity. Let him purify you. Let him strengthen you once more. Go to confession, dear brothers and sisters, if you haven't, if it's been a while. Perhaps you can set up an appointment for Good Friday. Perhaps you can set up an appointment for Holy Saturday. But an appointment to receive that forgiveness, to come to the Shrine of Częstochowa, where we are a mile away, right here at the studios, and go to daily Mass, where they have confession offered before every Mass. Go this week. It's time. It's time to reconcile and to repent of all the things that we are failing to repent of, to make Good Friday holy. And as we enter into those 3 hours, you know, praying the rosary and the Stations of the Cross are wonderful pious devotions that saints have been made on, that saints gave us, Dominic, Francis of Assisi, you know, the wonderful saints that Receive these gifts, these tools of sanctity. Use them during your 3 hours. If you have the ability, get out and pray a rosary. If you're at work and you can't, say one good Hail Mary. Make a good act of contrition and Our Father. And think of how you can enter in to unite your own daily sufferings and mortifications and frustrations of the week. Friday is always a great day to, you know, look forward to the weekend. Let us reflect on how we were less than godly that week, this holy week, this coming week. It's a chance to do that. Do that every week. We're going to really ponder, has the salvific act of the cross, have I emptied it of its power? Think of that. Have you emptied the power of the cross? Right? Have you emptied the cross of its power by virtue of not entering into it? They're not seeing that through the cross, everything is illuminated. Everything has meaning with the cross. Without it, there is no meaning. Suffering has no meaning. Have you emptied the cross of its power? Reflect on that this week. Reflect on that on Good Friday. Reflect on that at 3 p.m., the hour when Jesus surrendered his spirit. Do you empty the cross of its power? When you fail to trust, when you fail to witness, when you fail to pray, when you fail to rely, when you're anxious, when you're worried, are you emptying the cross of its power? I submit to you, you are. Because when we live in the cross, in the theology of the cross, and we live in the understanding that we are a resurrection people, we remember that it is to through the cross that we get to Easter. We can have no Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. And so do not empty the cross of its power, friends. When we come back after this second break, we're going to talk about Holy Saturday. Now, Holy Saturday is one of these kind of days where, you know, Lent is coming to an end officially this day. And, you know, it's kind of like a confusing day for us as Catholics. Like, you know, do I busy myself? We know Good Friday, like we should really slow down, right? But do I busy myself? What's the traditions of the church on Holy Saturday? Some great traditions in the church. We'll come back. We'll talk about them. But Holy Saturday is another special day. Easter hasn't begun yet, and Easter will begin at the vigil, but Easter truly hasn't begun yet, and yet I believe for some we might start celebrating a little too prematurely. I think we still need to wait. We still need to wait at that cross, stay in waiting, as the apostles and the women did. They went to the tomb. So the acts of the church in the early days, you know, certainly the moment of Christ's death and when he died, was just waiting. They're in the upper room. They were waiting. The women were going and praying. They were anointing. They're waiting on Christ. This is a time of waiting still. I wouldn't say you have to, stop everything, but there needs to be pause, right? There needs to be pause on Holy Saturday. Whether you get your baskets blessed, that's a great tradition, which we'll talk about, the Shrine Chest of Jehovah does. For the children, they bring their Easter basket. It's a wonderful thing to do. Or you begin to start, you know, preparing. We'll talk about the eggs and why we hide them and all those things. We'll talk about the traditions in the church and what they mean. Are you preparing on a Holy Saturday to embrace the joy of the resurrection? How do you do that? How do you best do that? I don't have all the answers. I can share some things my family does. But we'll share some things the church has done over the years. And hopefully that'll help. When we come back, we'll talk about Holy Saturday. And then we'll dive into what we're preparing for. Stay tuned.
The internet is a dangerous place for children. Cyberbullying, illegal photos, chat rooms, enticement of minors, and the dark web. Parents, bring your children to learn what should students do to protect themselves on the internet, and what legal trouble can they get into by engaging in these activities. This is all taking place at St. Jude School Cafeteria, 323 West Butler Avenue in Chalfont, from 6:30 to 7 p.m. on Monday, April 15th, Tuesday, April 16th, and Wednesday, April 17th. Don't miss this important opportunity to protect your children.
St. Catherine of Siena in Northeast Philadelphia, in conjunction with the Pro-Life Educational Foundation, Generation Life, and the Northeast Pro-Life Coalition, is presenting Quizzo Night. Play the popular trivia game and support the pro-life movement in Northeast Philadelphia. The event will be held Friday, April 26th from 7:30 to 10 p.m. at St. Catherine's Parish's McBride Hall. Admission is just $25. To sign up, visit hv50.com/events or call 215-885-6780 or email paprolifecoalition@gmail.com. Admission includes pizza, beer, soft drinks, water, and snacks. The funds raised by this event will support pro-life outreach activities. Play Quizzo with teams, prizes, and a DJ Friday, April 26th, 7:30 p.m. at St. Catherine of Siena, Northeast Philadelphia.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims. From its modest beginnings in 1930 as Summer Brothers Plumbing and Heating in Gap, PA, to its merger with Zims Sales and Service in 1973, Summers and Zims has grown to be the recognized leader in the design, installation, and service of mechanical systems for industrial and residential needs. They can be contacted at 610-593-5129, or you can visit their website at sumzim.com.
Welcome back. All right, we're finishing up this program here, but we're also finishing up our Lenten journey. And I pray it's been going well for you. I pray you have been having a fruitful experience, that you've entered into these 40 days. We have one more week, Holy Week, starting this coming Sunday, Palm Sunday. We enter into the holiest time of the year in the church. And yeah, I just pray that you finish strong, you finish the race. If it hasn't gone so well, hey, make the last week the best. You know, fast one day. Wouldn't it be great to fast on Good Friday? I mean, it is a day of fast, right? But you know, just to fast like on nothing, bread and water, just water. I know we can have two small meals, no meat, of course, but just a fast. Don't eat. Jesus didn't eat a thing. Jesus didn't eat a thing on the cross. He got that hyssop and wine on a sponge sent to him, the gall on the cross. That was it. They weren't giving Jesus food. He was in the cistern in Caiaphas's or Annas's house that night after the kangaroo jury trial and kangaroo court that he was part of. And then that's it. No food. Wouldn't it be great once you're done Holy Thursday? And this is the way they used to do it in the church. There was nothing. You didn't eat a thing. You didn't drink water, of course. But, you know, we've kind of pulled back, as I said in the last program, the attitude a little bit here. Paul VI required less penitence, if you will, or penance, maybe that's the word, less penitential acts of sorts. I don't know why. I don't know why that happened. I'm not here to judge that. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great to just go without, just like Christ did, to feel that emptiness, that hollowness of nothingness? Because that's what the world thought, but it was the triumph of the cross. And so wouldn't that prepare you well for Holy Saturday? Now, Holy Saturday, you know, we hide eggs. We do Easter egg hunts sometimes with the kids. Why do we hide the eggs? Because Jesus was hidden in the tomb for 3 days. That's why we hide the eggs. And what are eggs? Eggs are new life, right? New life. The chicken lays an egg. It's new life. But it's cracked open. The tomb is open. and we crack open those eggs, hard-boiled eggs typically, right? We crack them open on Sunday. It's symbolic. Now, during the time of the church for the years, that you wouldn't eat eggs. You wouldn't eat eggs during during the 40 days. That's right. You were off eggs. And so eggs was a great celebration to have at that point, too. One of the traditions of the church is here locally in the Polish church is the blessing of the Easter baskets. Now, I know many children bring their Easter baskets to the Shrine of Częstochowa on Holy Saturday. And it's a great thing to do, to bless those Easter baskets. One of the beautiful things that the Shrine of Częstochowa has in the upper church is they have a beautiful image of Jesus in the tomb. He's laying flat on the slab of Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And there he is, dead body. But in this beautiful display at the Shrine of Częstochowa, they have a monstrance up in the right corner, usually in this display in the right side of the upper church. And they veil the Eucharist, like as if, you know, Jesus is veiled, right? He's veiled in the tomb. And so it's a beautiful place to go and pray and just look and watch. What's beautiful about this, and I love what they do for these 3 hours Jesus is on the cross. Maybe it's all day, but I've only been there between 12 and 3. The Boy Scouts, that's right, the Boy Scouts, the local Boy Scouts, will stand vigil. They'll stand vigil there, like the centurions were standing vigil at the tomb. Isn't that really a beautiful thing? I think tradition has it, if I'm not mistaken, that you would visit three churches you've maybe never have been to, or just three churches you'd visit during Holy Saturday. This was a tradition that, I don't know when it began, but on Holy Saturday, Catholic families would go visit three churches. It just what was done. I think it's a beautiful tradition to resurrect, if I can use that word, to bring back, to visit three churches you've never been to before. Now, the tabernacles are empty. The holy water's empty. We're visiting these churches like we're visiting the tomb. And Jesus will rise. And we will be brought back into the churches. And we will experience new life again. But it's a wonderful tradition to do, to invite your kids into and explain to them why we're going to these churches. Holy Saturday is one of these days where it's almost like we're in celebration mode because it's Saturday. And it's almost like we're at Easter already, but we're not. And I think it's kind of like this limbo day where we're just not really sure what to do. Maybe in the more modern sense, we don't really know what to do. But I think we need to continue to keep watch. And I think we need to continue to prepare. Now, we're probably hustling around and trying to prepare for the next day, and maybe there's dresses that need to be bought or things that still need to be. I get it. I understand. But again, like on Good Friday, when we have the busyness of our day and we're working, we just need to set aside some time to just to be with the Lord. And typically, most of us don't have to work. Just maybe we get up early. Maybe we get up before the sun rises, and we just spend some time in prayer. Get up before your family rises, men. Go downstairs, go where you are, go outside on a crisp morning, maybe grab a cup of coffee, and just sit. And just give thanks and watch the sun rise. And think of your Lord, the dawn of the new day. Holy Saturday is a beautiful image down at St. Rita of Cassia Shrine in South Philadelphia. This is a great place to go on Holy Saturday. There's a beautiful image of the Holy Saturday Jesus. And it's in the bottom of the crypt of the church. And there's an image whereby Jesus is just waking up. And it's called Holy Saturday Jesus, where his eyes are just starting to open. It's just called Holy Saturday Jesus. So as we have that vigil and the resurrection, the 3 days, Christ in the tomb, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, when he rises, We have this Holy Saturday image, which is just reminds you and the sculptor that what is coming, the dawn of the new day. I think it would be a great thing to go down to South Philadelphia and just venerate that image. Just look at it. Pray before it. Remind yourself of what's to come. The new life that the Lord wants to give us. Behold, Jesus says, I make all things new in the book of Revelation. In Mel Gibson's wonderful movie, he says this, and I don't know if it was in Catherine Emmerich's vision or just Mel Gibson interjected it at this point. But when his mom runs to him on the Via Dolorosa, the sorrowful way, she says, I'm here. And Jesus looks at her and says, see, Mother, I make all things new. What a powerful scene. Did it happen? I don't know. Maybe it did. But what a way to look at Easter Sunday as a day to make all things new in your life, to start over again, to try again, to just let go. I think the greatest gift to Peter and the apostles, and sadly Judas didn't embrace it, was Jesus gave them permission to let it go, to let go the betrayals, the fear, the anxiety, the denials. Just let it go. It's done. It's finished. Remember some of those seven last words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Claim that. When you enter into Easter Sunday, the Lord wants you to let go. And he wants you to celebrate and rejoice. And that doesn't mean that we go back to the old ways of doing things. Like, we're hoping to be changed, yes? Like, forever, Mary Magdalene was changed. The apostles were changed when Jesus appeared to them after his death. They were changed, and they started to believe. And they were willing. As St. Augustine said, when Peter says to Jesus, I will die with you. And this is before he denies him. Jesus says, you will betray me three times. St. Augustine says, Peter didn't have the grace to embrace what his mouth was speaking. In other words, the grace of martyrdom, to die for a cause greater than himself, to die for Christ. The white martyrdom that we all experience, we have that grace. We have that grace given to us, but Peter did not. So Peter could not do what he was claiming he could do because God didn't give him the grace yet. God did not die and rise. And so that grace was not dispensed. And so therefore, he could not fulfill that. He could not. There's no way. But yet Jesus restores him. Peter, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? You know, he redeems him. And this is all part of Easter Sunday, where we have the Easter Sunday, the octave of Easter. You know, we celebrate Easter for, what, 8 weeks? That we have this time of change and renewal and transformation and a new life embraced, right? This is a great gift. So we don't go back to the old man. This 40 days, we've let go of the old man. Hopefully, we've purged ourselves of him and all the materialism and the things that we've tried to let go of, and we start living anew. That's what the Holy Mother Church wants for us and wants for you. That's what Jesus wants for you. Not to go back to the old ways. Oh, I get to binge eat now. I get to live how I want to live, and I'm not oppressed by the church and all her rules and the church's laws and stuff. Look, if that's your approach to Easter and what you can do, I can't help you with that. All I can do is pray for you and ask you to see that there's a deeper meaning. It's a deeper meaning here of letting go and living for the Lord, living a new life and sinning no more. And that's what we've been trying to do. And yet the Lord knows that we'll fall, and the Lord knows that we'll fail. And yet we try again, and he restores us, and he strengthens us once again through his Eucharist, through his body and blood, and through his priests, through the sacrament of confession. So I encourage you in the last 2 minutes of this program to go to confession. to make this the best Holy Week you possibly can have, maybe the best one yet. The best way to do that is to prepare yourself. Confession is a super way to do that. Purge yourself of all the things that are burdening you. Let it go. And enter into the Triduum. Go to Holy Thursday Mass. Pray. Receive the Eucharist. Go to Good Friday service if you can. Pray. Receive communion. And then kiss that cross. Kiss that cross on Good Friday. Embrace your own cross and carry it, dear brother. Sister in Christ, carry your cross and continue to carry it because it's your gift. That's right. Your cross is your gift. It's your way to grow closer to Jesus, and that's why it's a gift. So the crosses you have, don't look at them as to be something to be let go of or overcome, but to embrace. As Jesus embraces his cross in Mel Gibson's movie, he embraces it. He longs for it. I've longed for this. This is why I've come. And so Christ gives you a cross. He wants you to carry it, and he wants you to become like him, and he wants you to be more like him in your suffering, and he wants you to see his face in the midst of all of it, because he's closer to you then than ever before. And so here we are, 10 seconds left. I wish you a very happy and holy Easter, but truly enter in if you can this week. Take the time. You won't regret it. God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.